Reverend Samuel Hawthorne is gravely concerned about the decline in population of his congregation, to the extent that he seriously considers applying for a ministry abroad. The principal topic of local interest, however, is Guard Gallagher's entry for a singing competition promoted by the Irish chapter of the New York Police Department. Guard Gallagher, encouraged by Mrs. Hawthorne, his music teacher, has even composed his own song, which celebrates the unrivaled beauty of Ballylennon, a beauty which hotelier Fonsy Docherty is at pains to publicize in the United States, hence his trip to New York with Guard Gallagher. Muriel McConkie, the Development Association's secretary, is greatly upset when funds do not stretch to bringing her as well. She and her sister Vera, who runs the manual telephone exchange, are witnesses to and influences upon these crucial developments. Ballylennon, 1956.
Hello, Ballylennon call office. Oh, telegrams. Oh, yes, wait now till I find my pencil. Right, go ahead, so. New York? No, that's all right. We don't often get a telegram from there. Right. Yes, operator. 9 is the railway station. Mr. Bonner's the porter there, but he's also a part-time journalist. Right. Give maximum coverage to Premier Award won by Guard Bernie Gallagher Police Song Competition. Signed, Doherty. Oh, Premier Award! So he must have... Oh, I'm sorry, operator. I just got a bit of a surprise. Goodbye now. My God. Muriel, come in here at once.
What is it, Vera?
Come here, there's a telegram.
Oh, no. Oh, something's happened. Is it Fonsy Doherty? I knew he shouldn't go to America without me.
It's not Mr. Doherty, but the telegram's from him. Guard Gallagher's after winning the song competition.
He couldn't have.
Here's where I'm after writing it down.
Against all those American policemen?
No, it's only the Irish policemen in America.
Oh, sure, all the policemen in America are Irish, Vera.
Anyway, he's won.
Well, then all I can say is the standard of music over there must be very low. But what about Fonsy?
No message. He only signed the telegram.
Oh, I hope he's getting the right food. The things they serve over there aren't like what you're doing, Vera. Very easy.
I'll ring the telegram through to Stumpy Boner. No, he may not be on duty yet.
Londonderry and Loughswilly Railway. For the information of persons intended to travel, the 11:15 in Lifford's been cancelled so far.
Hello, Mr. Bonner. I have a message for you.
Hold on a minute, Mr. McConkie. There's a couple of geese that have broken out of their box. I'll have to corner them in the water closet. Hold on.
All right. No. He's busy with his official duties. It sounds as if he's been savaged by a gander. Here, Muriel, of course, for all we know, that song competition might have been a wee toty affair in some parish hall that no one's ever heard of. Hello?
They can say in the WC that our owner comes for them. The big ones have given me a woeful nip in the... where it hurts most.
There's a telegram from Mr. Doherty. Give maximum coverage to Premier Award won by Guard Bernie Gallagher Police Department Song Competition.
That's all right, Miss McConkie. I have my piece already written.
Well, you won't have to change it to he lost, so...
I'll add a few descriptions. Thunderous applause, stand ovation, 7 curtain calls.
7?
So who's to know? Nobody ever counts curtain calls. And I won't imply the judging was rigged.
Oh, do you think it was?
It must have been. How could he win that competition otherwise?
He's always done very well here. Mrs. Hawthorne was right, so whatever you say about her, she must have a good appreciation of the music. Oh, by the way, they haven't returned their census form, the Hawthorns. I better give them a jangle.
You can let me see the census forms when you have them, Miss McConkie, like you said.
Sure, it's like trying to pull a bone out of a dog's mouth to get the people to return those forms. No one will be bothered.
That'll be interesting to read the results.
Oh, don't be writing an article about it. I'd be killed if it was known I was showing anyone the results.
Oh, I'd never do that, Miss McConkie. Goodbye now.
Right.
Ballylennon Manse, may I help you?
Hello, Reverend Hawthorne. This is Miss McConkie in the telephone exchange. Please excuse the intrusion, but I notice you haven't sent back your census form.
Did we not? I thought my wife had. I must ask her. Excuse me, I've caught her tonsillitis.
Oh, it's going round. You see, I have to tick off the names of all the householders. People have generally been most efficient, taking the census very seriously.
Seriously? Oh, dear, I'll see that you get it this evening, Miss McConkie. Goodbye.
Thank you very much, Reverend Hawthorne.
Vivian!
Just a minute, Samuel. I'm ironing your tab collar.
I'll come out to the kitchen.
Now that we have the current, I think we should invest in one of those electric irons.
Whatever you think, Vivian. Though we'll have to take into consideration the fact that you lose your salary when you stop teaching.
Who was on the telephone?
Oh, Miss McConkie, the one from the exchange. She says we haven't returned our census form.
She's quite right. I was thinking that we should hold it until we're quite sure.
Sure.
When we know we can enter three persons instead of two as at present.
But that's a long way off, even if she says she has to send in the forms.
Nobody fills in those forms until they're sure of certain things. For example, if someone was expected to die, you'd be completely justified in delaying the form until the unhappy event had actually occurred.
But, Vivian, the Lord might spare that person indefinitely. For instance, if a person were to recover from a debilitating illness and then sink into a coma and then recover again over a period of several months.
And that would be an exceptional case. There are always exceptional cases. Lazarus was one. And there's an aspect to this census business which hasn't occurred to you, Samuel. If we show a rise of population in this household of 33 1/3%...
I think the iron's starting to glow.
Oh, I left it too long. Oops! As I said, if we show a rise of 33 1/3%, it will indicate that our congregation is not in decline, as the Assembly in Belfast seems to think. There'd be less chance of them deciding to amalgamate Ballylennan with some dreadful village like a Kilmacrennan. Or worse, have the church closed down.
Down?
Exactly.
Perhaps we should accept the inevitable, Vivian. If I were to resign my ministry here, I'd easily get a call to some more populous place where they're in need of clergy, like Lurgan or Portadown.
You mean where no clergy would want to go?
Charity, Vivian, charity.
Oh!
What?
I've singed the collar off. I could scream.
Don't, Vivian. I think I've another in the drawer.
Oh, there you are, Muriel. Were there many out?
No, not many.
Oh.
The people don't like the way Father O'Fatley gets through the mass so quickly.
He's dying to get off the altar and out in the running track. Ah, the tea's a bit stewed.
Come back. I noticed a white bird going down a chimney pot. Wasn't that strange?
It'll be black coming out.
The tea?
The bird.
Oh, no. It was snow white coming out.
Do you remember the way the country people used to put a hen or a cockerel down the chimney to sweep it? Far better than a brush.
It could have been a dove. Today's gospel was about a dove. That's what set me thinking. It could mean something.
What?
It could be a sign.
Muriel, you're seeing too many signs.
They're only there for those with the eyes to see, Vera. Poor Canon Field was always saying that. God be good to him.
Hello, Ballylennan call office. Yes. Oh, telegrams again. Doherty, Ballylennan 3, returning Sunday evening train. Great news for hotel. Give good clean out your best bedroom. Doherty. Yes, I have all that telegrams. That'll be a message from Mr. Doherty in New York for his daughter Josie at the Swilly Arms. Thank you, telegrams. You heard that, Muriel?
Yes, and I know what the white bird was telling me now. Fancy Doherty's on his way home.
Yon's the up-to-the-minute bird. Oh, I better ring that telegram through to Josie before it goes out of my head.
Swilly Arms, hello there.
Oh, Packy McGoldrick.
The same. Hello, Miss McConkie.
Is Josie there?
She's out the back draining a pot of cabbage. Will I get her?
No, you can give her this message. Her father wants Josie to give a good dust to the best bedroom. He must be bringing someone important home with him.
Oh, that'll be glorious, Swanson.
I'll send round the confirmation copy when I get a minute to write it out. Right, bye now.
Thanks, Miss McConkie.
Where are you now, Josie?
I'm here in the scullery.
That was Vera McConkie to say your outfit is on his way back. And to clean up number one.
Enough. I noticed a bad smell of damp the last time I was in there.
That's because it's the most expensive bedroom and no one wants to pay the extra 2 shillings, so it's never used. It'd be better if it was occupied at whatever rate.
He doesn't see it that way and I can't shift him.
He said there was good news for the hotel, I think.
Well, that'll mean he'll be in good humour.
Then he won't be downing me for buying the new second-hand typewriter for the office.
We better move all that kitchen equipment out to the homestead before he sees it and starts complaining of the expense.
I was thinking we should get the phone in so we can take bookings from parties of tourists.
I have an idea there can't be another line added to the local switch. There was trouble over that one time Dada was looking for a phone for the estate agency and he was refused. Because if you have more than 10 lines, the exchange has to go automatic. And if it went automatic, Miss McConkie'd be out of a job.
Good riddance.
She's a very useful source of information. Dada wouldn't see her let go.
Yeah, but it can work the other way if she took out against you.
She wouldn't. Her sister has too much of a regard for Dada.
Has she a notion of him?
Yes, did you never notice that? Ever since my mother died, I believe, she's been haunting the reception desk here. That's the best part of 15 years with this and that message for him.
Yon's a lengthy hunt. But he hasn't a notion of her.
No. But if it wasn't for her doing the minutes of the Development Association, he wouldn't know where he was. Oh, that steam!
I hate the smell of cabbage. Will I get that?
Yes. My hands are all greased. Oh, if it's the man from the Christian Brothers Old Boy Society, tell him I can do the annual dinner okay, and there'll be a choice of dessert.
What?
Jelly and custard, or jam trifle.
Swilly Arms Reception, may I be of assistance?
Who's that?
Paddy McGoldrick, Mr. Bonner.
I hear the boss is coming back on Sunday.
That's right. With a drove of wild Texan lassies under his oxter.
Ah, quit that. You're too full of yourself when you have the run of the hotel.
Wouldn't you be the same yourself?
I'd have more sense, so I would.
Oh, you're well known for being a sensitive man, Mr. Bonner. What can I do for you?
You can tell Josie I'm arranging a welcome home here at the station. Tell her to see to it that there's a bigger turnout than there was for the send-off.
That was a miserable occasion.
It was not. It was only that those who should have been to the fore and getting out the crowd failed in their endeavours.
Mrs. Hawthorne should get her school kids to come and wave a few flags. Welcome home, Gard Galler.
And welcome home, Mr. Doherty. Because if it wasn't for Mr. Doherty, Gard Galler had never won that competition.
What'd you say?
If Gard Galler had gone to New York on his own, he wouldn't have found the hall, let alone got out on the stage. And you may be sure Mr. Doherty had a wee word with the judges, too.
Well, he didn't bring those bottles the 12-year-old with him to drink on the plane.
You can read my piece on the Vindicator.
Oh, I'll rush out and buy the paper now.
You'd be wasting your money. The hotel gets a free copy for advertising in it. Did you know that?
Well, you can't be on top of everything, Mr. Bonner.
Would you say so? I'll have to go now. I hear the Derry train.
I look up your article last minute, and then I'll run down to you to get it autographed.
Oh, Vivian, there's a misprint.
What's that, Samuel?
In the Vindicator, a misprint. Instead of the witness hour will take place in the minor hall, which I'm sure is what I sent in, it reads, the witless hour, witless, will take place in the minor hell. Minor hell?
That's disgraceful. That proves he never proofreads his copy.
He?
Mr. Bonner. He writes it all out by hand and sends it off by post to Donegal. Or when he's late, he telephones it, which is worse. Oh!
What's that?
Pricked my finger on my needle due to annoyance. Now the threads come out.
I don't think you should bother with those socks anymore, Vivian. I've had them for a very long time.
Make do and mend. It's a wise motto.
You've darned them so often I don't know if there's any of the original socks left.
You probably made those mistakes on purpose. Witless hour.
There's a big headline on Barry Lennon Jottings. Popular policeman wins American song competition.
My goodness. Oh, I've lost the needle.
Big honour for Barry Lennon. God, Bernie Gallagher, who sang on Wednesday night in the prestigious Madison Square Gardens Concert Hall, was voted top entry by a panel of distinguished judges, which included Chief of Police Patrick J. Murphy, composer Oscar Hammerstein, and songstress Jeanette MacDonald.
Oh. Interviewed later by the Bronx Gaelic Mercury, Mr. Alphonse Doherty said he believed Gord Gallagher's singing of beautiful Ballylennon would draw large numbers of tourists to his hometown.
What is it, Vivian?
What's what?
You seem a trifle annoyed. Should you not rejoice?
I do rejoice. I'm thrilled to bits for Gord Gallagher, but I'm his teacher, and I have to learn about his success from the Vindicator. That's bound to be for me.
Let me take it. You're upset.
Upset?
The manse, may I help you?
Hello, Reverend. Is the missus there?
May I take a message? Mr. Bonner, isn't it?
Aye, it is. Will you ask her, will she join the welcome home parade for Gord Gallagher?
Hold on. Will you join in Gord Gallagher's welcome home?
Will I what? Ask him, did he make that mistake about the witless hour deliberately?
Mrs. Hawthorne says she'll consider it.
Would she give the school a morning off?
I'll ask her if the regulations would allow that.
Mrs. Hawthorne's a keen supporter of the Keep the Railway Open campaign. The parade will draw further attention to its importance, so it will.
I'll mention that to Mrs. Hawthorne, Mr. Bonner, so I will. goodbye now. Mr. Bonner was most appreciative about your support for the railway.
He should be rechristened Janus Two-Faced.
Faced. Sit down, Vivian. I'll make you a cup of cocoa.
The witless are.
What is it?
I found my needle.
This is better tonight than when your father and Gord Gallagher went away, Josie. It's the news of the guards' win. No one thought he would win, so they didn't bother to cheer him off.
Oh, people very inconsiderate. Oh, Mrs. Hawthorne, are those your school children?
They aren't playing truant. This is a practical class in art and civics.
The placards are great.
Oh, I like the one with the bluebird. Lucinda Graham of 4th year conceived it herself.
The songbird flies home to his nest.
The nest is the barracks, you see. A remarkably clever transposition of ideas, don't you think?
Actually, Gord Gallagher is staying with us at present, Mrs. Hawthorne.
The natural perception for the public would be the barracks.
I don't see any banners welcoming Mr. Doherty.
This welcome is primarily for the winner of the singing competition.
Oh. Dada wouldn't be expecting a thing like that.
And Mr. Gallagher won it with his own song, too. The Ballylennon song. I helped him with the lyrics, of course. In fact, you could almost say I wrote it. And I arranged the melody for piano.
Excuse me, I must tell the children that their duty cheer is the moment Gord Gallagher steps out of the train.
I suppose Perky will be driving your father back to the hotel directly, Josie.
Unless Dada insists on driving himself. You know the way he is about his own car.
Can we give you a lift? I wouldn't mind being squeezed in if Mr. Doherty hasn't too much luggage. Oh, I'd be so interested to hear of his, activities, over there.
He sent us a telegram saying there was good news for the hotel.
Oh, did he?
Did you not know?
Well, I think I may have noticed the confirmation copy lying on my sister's switchboard, but she wouldn't have left it lying about if it had been anything confidential.
I know she wouldn't.
Oh, is that the train?
Well, now, if you can see smoke beyond Manhattan Shed, it is. Yes, yes, there.
Stand back from the edge of the platform, ladies and gentlemen, please.
Packy, did you remember to put a match to the fire in the number one bedroom?
No, I forgot. Well, I take a run back now and light it.
Oh, no, we can keep whoever it is talking till the room heats up.
There's your father, Josie, opening the door of the second carriage. Only two cases.
And he went away with only one. Come on over and say hello to him.
How are you, Dada?
Ah, the best, Josie. Mind yourself on the step now, Kathy.
Welcome home, Fonzie. And congratulations.
Oh, hello, Mr. Conkey. I have your bag here. Kathleen, have you got your coat right?
Did you have a wonderful time?
What's that? Oh, I did. Kathleen, this is my daughter, Josie. I was telling you about
her. You sure were. Well, hi, Josie.
Josie, this is Miss Kathleen O'Hara from the Irish American Hotels Federation. She's going to advise us on how to market. Isn't that it? Market the Hoover Homestead.
Pleased to meet you, Miss O'Hara.
I'm real happy to be here. It's years since I was in Donegal, but I hear there have been great changes.
Oh, and all for the best. All for the best.
Oh, the town really came to a standstill while you were away, Fancy.
Did it? Here it is. Ah, yes. Kathleen, oh, yes. This is Miss McConkie, the secretary of our development association. It's what they'd call a business consortium.
Pleased to meet you, Miss McCartney.
McConkie.
Sorry?
The name's McConkie. Fonz Phelan been telling you all about me.
Oh, I don't... Perhaps he did. Where's the man of the moment? Where's Gard Gallagher?
Gard Gallagher stayed in New York. He was offered some singing engagements in the Irish clubs. So he said he'd oblige them as he got 2 weeks special leave. Well, he'd be getting big money, too. £30 a night in one place, the Mother McCree Inn, he was telling me. Aye, and his dinner thrown in.
Well, you'd better skedaddle by the back gate before Mrs. Hawthorne gets you. Don't you see the crowd of kids at the end of the platform?
Doing what?
They came to cheer Gard Gallagher.
Aye, well, they can save their breath till the day he comes. Where's the car, Josie?
Packy has it at the foot of the steps.
Oh, have you got all your belongings, Captain?
You have them.
Huh? Oh, right, right.
Fonzie, shouldn't I call a meeting of the Development Association for a report on your tour?
Oh, that's right, Muriel. Yeah, any time you say, and you can put on the agenda, welcome for Miss O'Hara.
Oh, that's great.
I will, Fonzie.
I'll give you a rattle on the phone sometime, Muriel.
Oh, we're giving Miss McConkie a lift in the car.
No, that's all right, Josie. I don't think there'll be room now with all that baggage. But I think a little walk in the fresh air will do me good.
If you really mean it.
No, I do.
Well, be seeing you.
Well, at least you addressed me as Muriel.
This is exactly what our clients are looking for, Alphonse. Almost.
Almost? Do you mean there's more we could do to the cottage, Kathleen?
You saw all the new electrical fittings that fit into the kitchen extension, Miss O'Hara. But you'll have noticed, too, that I retained the old hearth.
Ah, you spent more than a few shillings on those electrical fittings.
Don't spoil the ship, Mr. Darley.
If it was a ship, it'd sink with the weight of them.
My clients are the better class American Irish. They'll appreciate the genuinely old features. But Packy is right. The modern conveniences have to be there as well.
No, I'm not disputing that. I just have to keep my eye on the accounting, you know.
Yeah. The view of the mountains is hunky-dory. Yeah. Uh-huh. The thatched roof is ace. Yes, that old hearth is the cutest thing. We just need a bit more.
Whatever it is you say, we'll get it.
The people who come here will want to be reminded of what it means to be Irish. How about a carved shamrock motif around the porch? And that garden path, it's a bit bare. How about boring it with statuettes of the little people?
Huh? That's cool.
That's it. There's space for up to 20. All dressed in green jackets, holding their dinky little pots of gold.
Sure enough. When I was working in the garden center in Birmingham, there was always a great sale for the gnomes and the wee elves, but I don't know where we get a leprechaun.
You can always paint up the gnomes to look at them.
At night, green neon light in the windows must be green. Uh-huh. In fact, you could have a neon strip all around the eaves, defining the shape of the roof and giving an attractive green glow. Awesome. Very Irish.
There's only one thing, Miss O'Hara. Mr. Darty will know what I mean. Mrs. Hawthorne.
Mrs. Hawthorne can be outvoted. Pay no attention to that, Kathleen.
I only thought I should mention it.
It's not worth mentioning. Or either is she.
Well, so?
Now, while you guys are reckoning up the damage my advice has caused, I guess I'll take a little stroll down to the lake. I have a feeling you should put up a rustic sign at the top of the lane saying, Primrose Path. No, Boreen. Isn't that the country name for a pathway?
It's a bit old-fashioned.
You should have it asphalted or paved. I'll look to see if there's a place where you can install a feature down there by the shore. A candy stall or a souvenir shop. Something attractive and tasteful. See you in 20 minutes.
Very good, Kathleen. A souvenir shop, eh? Oh, she knows her business, that lass. Don't let me hear you mention that Hawthorne one again. She wouldn't know a genuine tourist from a bullock's bum.
You were giving out to me about spending, and look at the way she approved of that.
I have to watch the budget. As chairman, I'm accountable to the Hoover McKinney Foundation.
Well, there's one thing you've never accounted for, Mr. Doherty. I've mentioned it once or twice, but you've never given me a straight answer.
Oh, it's not a thing about your signature on the deed of sale. I'm sick of hearing about that.
Whether you are or not, it was you conned me into signing because you didn't want your own signature to be seen in it.
Keep your voice down.
There's no one here to hear us. Only a few bullocks. I thought I was only witnessing the sale.
I paid for this property out of my own pocket. It nearly ruined me.
£200. And look what the McFinney Foundation paid to the anonymous owner. $4,000.
Haven't you got a good job as curator out of it?
Oh, I have. But what I'm saying is, if it ever came to a court of law, my name's on the papers. I'm the legal owner.
There'll be no talk of courts of law. Look, Paddy. You've done well. Huh? And you've risen up in the town. I mean, can you not see that?
I'm only telling you. In case it came up.
Well, it'll not come up. Do you know what? You could always take a percentage of the entrance fees if they came above a certain figure.
Are you buying me off?
I'm making a fair proposal.
What about the franchise and the souvenir shop?
Oh, that's a new idea, because I'd have to, look into that.
Yoo-hoo!
It's Miss O'Hara down by the lake. Hi there!
Did she have heard about the same?
If she had planted a tape recorder in yon wind bush, then she has.
You could build a yacht marina down here!
I will do that! Two yacht marinas!
Sure, Mr. Doherty'd never have a thing like that in his mind, Muriel. Right, have you enough blankets on the bed?
Oh, I'm roasting here. I think I must have a fever. Is my face red?
There's nothing wrong with your face. Did you take an aspirin?
I took two Mrs. Cullen's spiders before I came up the stairs. Perhaps I should only have taken the one. I'd hate to become addicted.
Oh, should I ring for Dr. McCarver?
Oh, no. No, he'd only give me an injection. I hate injections. He hardly spoke to me at the station.
And what was Dr. McCarville doing at the station?
No, not him. Fonsy Doherty. Oh. He only passed three remarks, Vera. Nothing more than you'd say to a dog.
He'd have plenty of other things on his mind.
He had one thing on his mind, Vera. That Kathleen O'Mara or Gara or something. I hear he has her staying in the best bedroom in the hotel because Josie Doherty was telling Becky McGoldrick to light a fire in it. Oh,
she has to stay somewhere. Oh!
What?
Will Gard Gallagher be paying us the rent for his room while he's at the Skies in America?
But doesn't he pay a week in advance?
Well, that only brings us up to today. He should be giving us next week's rent tonight.
Vera, do you know what I was going to say?
What, Mary?
With God gathered away, we've no chance of finding poor wee Napper Dandy.
We can inquire round the town ourselves.
Not a terrible thought. Would God gather know where Napper Dandy is, but won't tell us because he's afraid of having him in the house?
Do you think God Gallagher's brain would extend to that kind of contrivance?
Men, Vera, the world would be better without them.
Ballylennon was written by Christopher Fitzsimon. Fonsy Doherty was C.P. McKenna, Muriel McConkie, Margaret Darcy, Vera McConkie, Stella McCusker, Vivian Hawthorne, Anya McCartney, Reverend Samuel Hawthorne, Gerard Murphy, Stumpy Bonner, Gerard McSorley, Josie Doherty, Ali White, and Packy McGoldrick, Charlie Bonner. Ballylennon was directed in Belfast by Peter Kavanagh.